Wake up, wake up, wake up. This is your Cup of Joe podcast, and I am your host, Joe. We are back in the coffee house, but it's kind of after hours, y'all. So I don't know why I'm saying wake up, because this is after they close. They're just giving it to us just for a little while. Before I start, I want to thank you all for tuning in. I know I've been on a little bit of a hiatus, but we're back just for this Christmas season. We're gonna tap in a little bit more. I have seen where people have been listening to older shows, and I want to say from the bottom of my heart, I appreciate you all still tuning in to some of the other shows. I appreciate it. So, well, I'm here today. Well, before I go into that, if you're new here, pull up a chair. Let's talk a little bit. Let's listen to some good conversation. Pull up, get your favorite latte, get your favorite coffee beverage. I'm a herbal tea guy myself. With this cold out here, I definitely do that throat coat man, I forgot the name of it, but yeah, all of it's good. You know, take care of that voice and everything. And while I'm talking about taking care of my voice is leading into one of my favorite holidays, and that's Christmas. Well, a year ago, I released a single called Christmas Is. Nice little Christmas tune, nice classic Christmas tune. I decided to lead. I'm going to get into a little bit of a story behind that. Because normally I don't do the leading, I do the writing. But this time did something a little different, and it's streamed on all platforms. Well, we decided, me and, if you see the guy over there with, looks like the piano / E logo there, you see Mr. Roderick Fox. That is one of the brainchild behind the music and everything, production, all of that, for Christmas Is. And that's what we're going to talk about today. We're going to talk a little bit about Christmas and the Christmas Is projects. I got a little story. I was going to just talk myself, and I was like, man, can't do that without seeing if Roderick had a little time to talk to us. Y'all should remember Roderick Fox. We from all of our musicians, our sound check. Say hello to the people, Roderick.
Good people, how y'all doing? Merry Christmas and Happy New Year, Happy Holidays, all that good stuff.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And again, as I told you in the previous podcast, this guy can do it all. He told you, he played bass, lead.
I play at it.
The triangle, whatever. He can play it all, and he helped produce this wonderful project called Christmas Is. And I just want to get it. I just want to talk to him just a little bit. Just talk to you all just for about 20 minutes. I'm looking at the time and looking at the clock, because I don't want to, as a quartet, you know what they say, Roger, belabor the time. I don't know what that means. I don't want to belabor.
Do one and two and get out the way.
Yeah. So we're gonna kind of jump back and forth, man. This is just kind of this is an informal kind of interview here. So let me tell you the story behind Christmas Is. I was asked to do so. As I told you all, I'm not necessarily, I sing, but I'm not necessarily, I like to do writing more than that. And I say that while I lead praise and worship at my church, and I have song with other people leading and everything. But when it comes to like releasing things, I love to write. I have books out there that I've written. Spring Forth, I'll See You in the Winter. Those are two. You can pick those up at lulu.com. Just search my name. But anyway, and somebody had asked for a Christmas tune. And I wrote about three or four of them, and I put this one together, and you know, it kind of fell through, and I was like, what am I gonna do with this? And my wife heard it, and I don't know, just happenstance, she normally just kind of chill. I normally have to ask her, hey, what do you think about this? But with this one, she heard it, and she's like, you ought to just do that yourself, you know. And a lot of my
wow.
Yeah. And so I was like, I guess I'll try it. And she know me, you know, and I was like, I don't know. But she was like, just do it yourself, you know, maybe just do it with some piano. And that's it. Do you know someone to play? And I was like, I know the person that I really want. I want. We had me and Roger hadn't worked before. We hadn't worked really like in this space. And I was right. Like, man, all I came to him. This was maybe 2 years ago.
Right.
And I came and I said, hey, man, I got this tune and I don't play piano. And I just I sung it out, sent it to him. And he was like, I said, all I want is, man, some piano. You know, what is your, we went over pricing and all that stuff. And because, man, relationship, that's a, you know, sidebar. Man, if y'all are good in your relationships, God will give you favor. He will.
And man, I promise you.
Listen, so back to the story. And so because of relationship, because of the integrity that he saw with me and how I move, he's like, man, yeah, we'll get this done. Now, adding on to that, he's like, I think we could do this. We can do this. And if you're a musician, and especially if you're a producer, you don't just hear, just that's all I wanted was piano and the song. Because the song, you're hearing it underneath, but what it was just, what is Christmas? Is it snow on the ground? And it's just supposed to be piano playing, no type of a time beat or anything like that. And he sent it back, said, hey, man, I think we could, let's put, you know, did his thing with it. Let's put a beat with it. Man, we can see a bass or whatever. And we didn't connect that first time.
I dropped the ball, man. I dropped the ball.
It wasn't on you. Listen, man, I came at him. So, y'all, that's not his fault. I came like November or like right at the end of October. And
yeah.
You know, projects, good things take time. And so I remember I was at his church. They had a business seminar, and I was, you know, I got a lot of irons in the fire. So I also do custom suits and handkerchiefs, all that good stuff. And I had a table set up, a little booth. And he came out. Say, hey, man, and said what he said there. I dropped the ball, and I was like, no.
Yeah, man.
I came at the last minute. He was like, we're going to do it. And I was like, man, you don't have to. We're going to do it and do it right. Mm-hmm. And when he said do it right, I'm going to be honest. In my mind, I was like, you know, man, I've been let down before. Let's try to get
it. Yeah.
I was like, you know, that's cool. And I'm just being honest. I was like, that's cool, whatever, you know, because you're coming to someone and that's still his time, y'all. That's his talent. That's his gift. And I respect it. And I was like, that's cool if it works, if it does. And man, he came back to me I think the next month. And we started recording. He brought in drums. He brought in an upright bass. And I'm looking at all this like, I'm a country boy, y'all. And I'm like, I've been in some studios. I've been, but when it came to me, I was like, man, all of this for this. And that's, you know, that's kind of the birth of it. We recorded that first time. And on the, you know, we started that first year. Christmas is, you know, it probably looks a little different if you've seen it. It had a little candy stripe tree and all that good stuff. And, you know, it's more stories behind that. I just really, I mean, I was like, wow, when it came together, you know, shout out to Governor's Studio, we recorded there. Shout out to, Chris Kelly. And is it Ray Bradford? Is that it? I'm giving you.
Yeah, it's my guy, Ray.
Yeah. Yeah. And, we pulled it together. Tyrese Rolfe, our Lord, you know, mm-hmm.
Yeah,
you know, and man, and just that came. So I want to go back, because here's what I wanted to ask you. So when you got in, you just really started to listen, because all I gave you was vocals and words. Like, what was your creative process? What did you hear, man?
A classic Christmas record. Like, as soon as I heard it, I was like, okay, this is. And you know, the funny thing about this is, I don't remember you saying, like, let's sing it with no rhythm. I don't even remember that. I think once I heard it, I kind of was like committed to, oh, this is good. I mean, because it definitely has, to me, just my personal opinion, there are, it's a lot of Christmas songs, but there are very few like timeless songs. Like, you hear people say things like, you know, it ain't Christmas out here in my mind, you know.
Right.
Or when you hear Nat King Cole's version of the Christmas song.
Right.
And when I heard it, like, that was immediately the first thing I that came to mind. Like, this is a Christmas classic song. So, like, I heard everything. No, I will be kind of honest in saying what it is today. Mm-hmm. Is very, very close to what I heard then.
Wow.
Like the whole nine. So that's when I, you know, and you know, he's being very gracious. I felt horrible that we did not get it released that first time. And he left out, look, like, when I knew that he was gonna be at my church for that seminar, I made it my business to come. And seriously, and talk to you, because I didn't want to do that on the phone. You know, have a conversation. But I was so serious about that, man. I was like, this has got to happen. Because, number one, of course, I believe in you, and we've had those discussions, but I definitely believe in the song before. So I just knew it. I knew it had to be done. Whatever it was going to take. So, you know.
Man, let me tell you. So my creative process, when... as I told you, I wrote it for someone else and it just mm-hmm. didn't make it. I think the person was like, they were like, man, I need this, this, and this. And I was like, okay, I gave it to them. And they just it fell by the wayside. And they never got back with me on it. I was like, man, and I was disappointed, because, you know, I'm being honest as well. Because especially with this one, I have a few more, but with this one, I'm like this. I'd be like, God, did that come from me? And
right.
When I hear the word, what is Christmas? Is it snow on the ground? Is it tinsel down? Is it the laughter and the joy? Because when I hear it, I hear timeless Christmas, because right. I was in that space when I wrote it. I was thinking, you know, all I saw was just a wonderful life. And
right, yeah.
What's the song? Silver Bells. That's,
yeah.
I heard that and I saw that in my mind. And so, you know, when I hit the "What is Christmas? Is it snow on the ground?" I saw that from "It's a Wonderful Life." Is it tinsel through the town? And it was another scene on "It's a Wonderful Life" where it was snow on the ground and that the light poles were decorating everything. And so I saw all of that. And so when it came together just vocally, I was like, wow. I was like, God, you did your thing.
Right.
Got to say, ooh, big God did his thing. And, because I was like, how did that come to my mind? Those words, you know, love came down at Christmas and the soul of love came down with healing for our hurts more than toy. Because that's something that I would hear on the radio. I'm not trying to brag on me or anything.
Oh, no, you did. No, hey.
I'm like, wow. And so when you put it all together, I was like, this is how you know you cut this. First of all, peoples, this is how you know you connected with a producer. Let me say this. I'm running out of time. Producers don't give you necessarily them. They have a signature sound. But the good ones, what's that guy name? The one of Andre Crouch, so many years. Tommy, Lord, I forgot his name. I know Tommy. He done.
No, white guy or black guy?
Black guy. Tommy.
Sims.
Like, you have to ask, man, who did that? Oh, that's Tommy Sims. He doesn't necessarily have a signature sound. Right. You hear him on Andre Crouch, then you hear Marvin Winans, then you hear something he done with jazz. I saw all his credits. I'm like, he wrote that? I mean, he wrote that. And so, man, I got to give Roderick his flowers because I've heard him on a lot of different spaces, and he gave me not necessarily what I wanted, but what I needed. I'll say it's what I wanted, but as a vote, I mean, I'm not a producer. I don't necessarily know what I want, but I know when I hear it, that's it. And he gave me it for this song. And I've heard him do other songs, give them what, I wouldn't say what they want. What's the word I'm looking for? He gave it sounded like them.
Right.
Not necessarily try to, do what it is Christmas. Fox wrote this. Fox. Another Fox production. But man, you get churchy, you just saw the vision. and just gave that to me. I want to get into the song. So like when you were hurt, is there kind of a secret sauce or what have you, like on certain parts? So I want to talk about like, how did you come with the solo? I can't sing it out.
Yeah.
No.
Well, the backstory with the solo was actually, I don't know if you remember this. I was just playing something. I actually was just playing around. And I did something at the beginning. It's kind of like a chromatic walk down. And you was like, hey, I like that, because it reminded you of, I can't remember exactly what you said. It was like something like snow falling or something. It was along those lines. Yeah. So when you did that, of course, I couldn't go back and do exactly what that was. But that's where kind of my thought process started from that. And then at the same time, to kind of also piggyback with another one, what you just said, I wanted to do my best, of course, but I didn't go into the solo particularly. Like, I'm finna just blaze this joint, and I didn't have that mindset. I was thinking like, I want to play something that's nice, that kind of does not take away.
Yeah.
From, and then cause when I say that, I hope this makes sense. Like sometimes as musicians, like people will hone in only on the music. Like musicians listen to it, they will only listen to that solo part. Like, man, there are several songs we know called the solo. And that's not necessarily what I wanted to try to give to it. Like, it's more so about the song. Mm-hmm. And even like you said, everything that I did was a reflection of that. Like when you say, what is Christmas, snow on the ground, tilts through the town. Then the ending phrase of your verse is that and so much more.
Yeah.
It's all those things. So my mindset was just to really kind of stay out the way, and then I also knew I wanted to add some other parts to it, so I didn't want it to be, overcrowded.
Overcrowded.
Like Smash City.
Right. It was, the word I was looking for is, I was like thinking while you said it was tasteful. It just.
Okay, I'll take that. I like that.
It sat like right there, and it did. It told the story of the song. One of the things that I don't see today is songs really having time to build and tell a story, because we try to get on the radio. But man, I come from the Crouch, the Winans, all those people, John B. Key, Carlos Moody, and all of that, Prince, Rod Temperton, that's his name.
Yes.
Michael Jackson, the guy behind Michael Jackson.
Yeah, man.
That wrote and told stories with the song. And so I love how the music kind of complemented. It was tasteful, and it complemented the song. you know, and you know, those are, again, the, let me tell y'all something. Producers like Roger, they will keep work, because, you know, I'm not that type, but artists, there are some artists that are diva-esque and devo-esque, and they want to shine. I have been in the studio enough to be with artists where they go back, their manager come back and say, hey, you did too much on this song. That's what XYZ said. You need to dial it back. It's about her, about him. And I'm like, wow. But anyway, they know how to hear that particular song. So when you hear this song, I think you said you heard a classic Christmas. But what does, so first off, for you, what are your musical influences? And then two, when you approached this song, did you approach it with those influences, or did you hear some other different influences? Did you listen to anybody else, or what happened?
Yes. My musical influence, I try my best. I don't always do it like I want to, but I try to listen to everything I get my hands on. I mean, any and everything. And I was talking to a friend of mine, and it's kind of funny. He was talking about music. I said, man, I just don't listen to music recreationally no more. Like, even when I try to do that, like, I'm listening to a song, I'm liking it, and then next thing you know, I'm thinking like, man, I love how those guitars are panning to the left. And I wonder what kind of, you know, I go through this whole spell. So, like, I don't even get to really enjoy the songs because I'm listening to it critically, not in a negative way, but like, oh, I like that. I want to try that. I wonder how they did that. And then next thing, instead of listening to the song, I'm researching who wrote it, who produced it, who played on it, where they were, all the kind of. So I try to listen to as much as I can to keep myself versed. And the second part of that is, and when we were getting ready to record at the Max, I think probably like maybe 2 months leading up to that. We recorded in the summer. Just tell that secret. Yeah. I listened to a whole bunch of Christmas music, like Michael Bublé, Nat King Cole. And I wasn't listening to it necessarily to steal or take from that. But I do think those songs carry a certain essence. You know, if that makes sense. Yes. Like they have their own vibe. They have their own character. Like, and I think as musicians, like, there's only 12 keys and there's only so many changes. But the way you approach those changes, the way you kind of articulate those changes, and even like, you know, your progressions leading up to them are different for every genre. So knowing that I wanted to do a Christmas song that in my opinion, or even in my goal, you asked me about my approach. My approach to Christmas is to be able to set at the same table as all those songs. Like, I ain't wanted to be like, well, man, you can tell they from Mississippi. You know what I'm saying? I wanted to be truly a song from that genre that you could hear on a Christmas movie or in, you know, all those things. So that was my approach to it. So yeah, I listened to and studied to I mean, simple things. What's the dominant instrument in these songs? Like, you know, all the little things that I, you know, thought to try to figure out to make that song. Because, you know, I'm not saying this. I try to give every song all that I can, and you know, I want to be the best it can be. So I definitely want to do that.
Man, let me tell you, you did that. You did that and so much more. But the same way for me, when I approach it vocally, one of my influences now, well, over the about probably the past 10 years, has been Gregory Porter.
Man, Gregory Porter is man.
Listen. So I had a little Gregory Porter. I love Ella Fitzgerald because I love some of her vocal choices. And then I also listened to a bunch of Kurt Elling. And I'm going to tell you, a person, his approach is let me just say abstract, but there are some things that Bilal does that,
oh yeah,
that is like, oh my God. Some I'll be like, yeah, you know, he do his thing. And that, you know, but some I even pull a little bit from him on the part when he's Isaiah and so much more. I like when his voice does it.
Oh yeah.
And I'm like, you know, that's kind of how I look at it. You know, with me, it might be different for you. I never know the influence until after I hear myself.
Right.
And be like, I just listen to that. I listen to a lot of different, like all those, and I try to put them into whatever song I'm doing. And man, let me go to this, and then I see them trying to kick us out here. So I'm gonna say this, and we're gonna be done here. To backtrack, when I really thought of Christmas is, like I said, for me, it's gonna sound crazy. It's almost like I have almost an out of body experience when I'm writing, because I think of stuff, but I come back and I'm like, wow, I did, you know, that came from my hand or that came from my thought process. But then I have to go back and study what I wrote. And when I actually kind of studied the song, it's a microcosm of Christmas for me. Those things excite me about the holiday. It's one of my favorite holidays, not because of commercialism, not because of buying things at the store. My kids are partially grown. I got a teenager and a 20-year-old, and so they want money. So that part doesn't. And even when we do things like that, we exchange gifts, and it's more from the heart type deal. It's never, okay, what you want, whatever. Like my wife, she tries to surprise me, try to do things that she tries to get things that I don't necessarily ask for, but she knows that I've been really wanting, or something that's sentimental. And that is what I hope people hear in this tune is, you know, the sentiment of my heart, as it being sentimental, is that it's about love and the love that came down that gives peace, because even with my family, I have friends, but I also have family that gets hit with a lot of grief for the holidays. And you know, one of the things that I pray for them as well, as praying for my family, is for that peace that, you know, yeah, we cry, but we cry and then we remember and we hold those memories dear. Like there are some things, I have ornaments at the house that my kids made. So even when I'm long gone, that's something they can look back on. They can know that dad did this, that. What is it that, what is Christmas to you? And I'm talking to my coffee shop audience. What is Christmas to you that even during these times where it may be a little rough, what is Christmas to you that brings that peace? I'm going to tell you this story and I'll be on my way. There was one Christmas, my mom didn't have any money. There was a shift in the government and a lot of the assistance, because she raised three kids by herself. And a lot of that shift took away some of the assistance that she was getting, took away some of the child support that she was getting. And so when I tell you that Christmas, we didn't get anything. And we went to, I don't know, Roger, if you remember this store called Fred's. Fred's. And man, Fred's was like the Dollar Tree of our generation. You found all your cheap whatever stuff. And I remember I looked at it was a Christmas turtleneck. I was young. It was a black turtleneck, but it had like all this frilly Christmas stuff on the front. And man, I like that turtleneck. And it was like, man, I think it was like $3, somewhere along that $3-4. And there was a Chinese checkers game that I looked at. And my mom was like, man, you like those? You like, you know, whatever? I said, yeah, that's cool. You know, but I told her, hey, I understand though. Can we get it? You know, because after Christmas comes income tax season. Glory to God.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
And I said, hey, we get it for income tax season. And I remember I looked under the tree and it said from Mama and Santa, and it was a Chinese checkers game.
Wow.
And that turtleneck. And when I tell you, my mom didn't have anything, like she had to scratch to get that for me. She got my sister some. I don't remember what they got. I just remember that hit me. And man, I cried because it was like, you right. know, my mom did that for me.
Yeah.
I mean, like, that was 3, 4, 5. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, you're good, man. I just think you just kind of summed it up. Like, yeah. you know, we focus a lot. We do focus a lot on the gift side of Christmas. Mm-hmm. And that is a big part of it. You know, the commercialized and all that good stuff. But the true meaning of it is really about sacrifice. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
What are you willing to do for others? And even, I like to throw this into here. You know, we talk about doing the Christmas Eve challenge.
Yes.
And even with that, man, hopefully just spreading those kind of stories. And for those that are, you know, maybe grieving during this time or missing someone, you can share those memories of things or new traditions being created or, you know, man, just... I remember it, and I'm going to say this about that. I used to work with a lady, good friend of mine, still good friend of mine.
Yeah.
And she would tell me some of the things they did for Christmas. Like, they still, I mean, we grown.
Mm-hmm.
And they would still go by, you know, go cut a tree down. And at the time, her son was kind of young, but, you know, he was maybe middle school, somewhere up in there. They would go buy, you know, cut down a tree, buy a real tree, and still set out gifts, some open, some, you know, some not wrapped, some wrapped, some from Santa, the whole night. And that was so amazing to me because we didn't do that, you know? So it made me think of how different all of our experiences are, and then how we're strengthened by sharing those. Like, you know, you kind of grow up thinking life goes a certain way based on how you grew up. Then you meet people and talk to people and share things with people. You're like, okay, they came up a little different, you know?
Yeah.
And that is should be, you know, more of a blessing than it is frowned upon, you know? But I think, man, the more we share, especially during this time of year, and really encourage each other, and, you know, I think you just can't lose. You can't lose that way. And really, like I said again, that's what that whole song kind of expresses throughout. Like you just said about your mom doing that. Love came down on Christmas. Like, cause that's the, you know, that lyric coming to life. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, yes. That's exactly. That's exactly what that is, man. I'm, you know, getting fuzzy thinking about it.
Yeah,
and
man.
That's what it is for you all that's listening that may not know. We do have a Christmas Is challenge. Find the song, stream it, download it, but go to wherever social media, whatever part of social media you're on, TikTok, Facebook, we're on there, Instagram.
Everywhere.
Everywhere. Mm-hmm. Play that song underneath. You can play the instrumental, whichever version you want, radio or the single version there. Play that song and tell us what Christmas is to you. And just... tag Joseph Moore III, Roderick Fox. Tag us in it, please. And hashtag Christmas Challenge. I think, is that what it is? Christmas Challenge.
Christmas Is Challenge.
Christmas, hashtag Christmas Is Challenge. And man, spread this cheer, spread this love. Now, let me tell you, I would love a platinum record. I would love a girl. We both would. Ain't no use to lie. No use,
man.
You know, but what it's really about is those stories that you have maybe about your mom, or you can even play it as you're doing what Christmas is for you. If Christmas is under the mistletoe, is it? If it's exchanging gifts, if it's smoking a turkey or cooking, you can have that playing while people, so people can see. We see enough junk on the internet,
but
we see too much of it. But I think this can cut through the monotony of things that, you know, we see and just bring some cheer, bring some peace to someone, you know, that may need it at this time of year. And that's what Christmas is. That embodies the whole song. Listen, Roderick, man, I know you got to go. I got to go as well. And because I'm going to leave here and then go see my baby play basketball, my little girl.
Oh, yeah.
But get on out of here and go there. And, man, I appreciate you hanging in the coffee shop, talking a little
bit. Yes, sir, man.
I will say, lastly, listen, wherever you stream your music, Christmas is Joseph Moore featuring Roderick Fox. You can find it, download it, stream it, leave a review. Everywhere, YouTube Music, Spotify, Apple Music. Would love if you go ahead and download it, Apple Music, Amazon Music.
Hey man, yeah.
Listen, we love to. Hey, tell your radio station pull it up. Maybe tell them enough times, they'll
play all your stations. Yes,
yes. And so, and like, but for the bottom of our heart, man, we appreciate y'all that are streaming it, that are sharing. And all of that good stuff. So, Roderick, again, man, thank you.
My honor to be on here, man.
Yeah, man. Always, always, always good to have you. Cover Joe family, appreciate y'all. And we will see you all later.